1, Jerry Sebastian Dalke. On April 29, 32-year-old Jerry Sebastian Dalke of Colorado Springs, Colorado, was sentenced to 262 months in prison for attempted espionage in connection with his efforts to transmit classified national defense information, NDI, to an agent of the Russian Federation. According to court documents, Dalke pleaded guilty in 2023 to 6 counts of attempting to transmit classified national defense information, NDI, to a foreign agent. From June 6 to July 1, 2022, he was an employee of the National Security Agency, NSA, where he served as an information system security designer. He admitted that between August and September 2022, in order to demonstrate both his legitimate access and willingness to share, he used an encrypted email account to transmit excerpts of 3 classified documents to an individual he believed to be a Russian agent. That individual was actually an FBI online covert employee. All 3 documents from which the excerpts were taken contain NDI. They are classified as top secret sensitive compartmented information, SCI, and they were obtained by Dalke during his employment with the NSA. On or about August 26, 2022, Dalke requested $85,000 in return for all the information in his possession. He claimed that the information would be of value to Russia and told the FBI online covert employee that he would share more information in the future once he returned to the Washington, D.C. area. Dalke subsequently arranged to transfer additional classified information in his possession to the purported Russian agent at Union Station in downtown Denver, Colorado. Using a laptop computer and the instructions provided by the FBI online covert employee, Dalke transferred 5 files, 4 of which contained top secret NDI. The FBI arrested Dalke on September 28, 2023, moments after he transmitted the files. As part of his plea agreement, Dalke admitted that he willfully transmitted files to the FBI online covert employee with the intent and reason to believe the information would be used to injure the United States and to benefit Russia. The FBI, Washington, and Denver field offices investigated the case. Assistant U.S. Attorneys Julia K. Martinez and Jenna R. Neuscheller for the District of Colorado and trial attorneys Christina A. Clark and Adam L. Small of the National Security Division's Counterintelligence and Export Control Section handled the prosecution. Part 2. Banmeet Singh. On April 19, an Indian national was sentenced to 5 years in prison for selling controlled substances on dark web marketplaces and ordered to forfeit approximately $150 million. According to court documents and in statements made in court, 40-year-old Banmeet Singh of Haldwani, India, created vendor marketing sites on dark web marketplaces such as Silk Road, Alphabay, Hansa, and others to sell controlled substances including fentanyl, LSD, ecstasy, Xanax, ketamine, and tramadol. Customers paid with cryptocurrency for drugs ordered from Singh using the vendor sites. Singh then personally shipped or arranged a shipment of the drugs from Europe to the United States through U.S. mail or other shipping services. From at least mid-2012 through July 2017, Singh controlled at least 8 distribution cells within the U.S., including cells located in Ohio, Florida, North Carolina, Maryland, New York, North Dakota, and Washington, among other locations. Individuals in these distribution cells received drug shipments and then repackaged and reshipped the drugs to locations in all 50 states, Canada, England, Ireland, Jamaica, Scotland, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Over the course of the conspiracy, the Sync Drug Organization moved hundreds of kilograms of controlled substances throughout the U.S. and established a multi-million dollar drug enterprise that laundered millions of dollars of drug proceeds into cryptocurrency accounts, which ultimately became worth approximately $150 million. Singh was arrested in April 2019 in London at the request of the US and subsequently extradited to the US in March 2023. He pleaded guilty on January 26, 2024 to conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute controlled substances and conspiracy to commit money laundering. Principal Deputy Assistant Attorney General Nicole Argentieri, head of the Justice Department's Criminal Division, U.S. Attorney Kenneth L. Parker for the Southern District of Ohio, Administrator Ann Milgram of the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, Acting Special Agent in Charge, Karen Wingard of the IRS Criminal Investigation, Cincinnati Field Office, Acting Special Agent in Charge, Sean Gibson of Homeland Security Investigations, Detroit, and Postal Inspector in Charge, Leslie Allison of the U.S. Postal Inspection Service, made the announcement. The DEA, IRSCI, HSI, USPIS, and the Upper Arlington and Columbus, Ohio Police Departments investigated the case. The United Kingdom's National Crime Agency, Crown Prosecution Service, and Central Authority provided significant assistance. The Justice Department's Office of International Affairs provided significant assistance in securing the arrest and extradition of Singh from the United Kingdom. Trial attorney Emily Cohen of the Criminal Division's Money Laundering and Asset Recovery Section and Assistant U.S. Attorney Michael J. Hunter for the Southern District of Ohio prosecuted the case. Part 3, Lab Host. On April 18, the Justice Department announced the seizure of four domains used by administrators and customers of a domain spoofing service. The domain seizures were authorized pursuant to seizure warrants issued in the Western District of Pennsylvania. They were executed in coordination with the arrest of dozens of administrators and customers of the illicit service by foreign law enforcement agencies. According to court records, the U.S. obtained authorization to seize the domains as part of an investigation of the spoofing service operated through the lab-host.ru domain, which resolves to a Russian internet infrastructure company. LabHost provided online infrastructure and interactive functionality for its subscription-based services. According to court records, customers of LabHost used its services to create and manage spoofed websites designed to look like the legitimate websites of businesses such as Amazon, Netflix, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Chase Bank. LabHost customers used the spoofed websites to lure unwitting victims into disclosing their personally identifiable information, PII, such as date of birth, email address, password, physical address, and credit card information on the websites the victims believed were legitimate. According to court documents, LabHost customers used the stolen PII to engage in unauthorized financial transactions at the expense of the victims. As outlined in court records, LabHost has been used to create over 40,000 spoofed websites, and its infrastructure has stored over 1 million user credentials and nearly 500,000 compromised credit cards. the warrant authorized the seizure of four domains associated with Application Programming Interface Services, API services, used to install spoofed websites and manage lab host phishing and credential theft operations. The four lab host API domains were registered to NameSilo LLC, a third-party web hosting service based in the United States. According to court records, the seized domains represented property used to commit violations of federal criminal law, including access device fraud, computer fraud, wire fraud, identity theft, and money laundering. The effect of the domain seizures was to shut down the lab host platform. The domain seizures in the United States occurred in conjunction with the international arrests of dozens of lab host administrators and customers facing criminal charges in more than a dozen foreign countries. Law enforcement authorities from the following countries participated in the investigation: Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Czechia, Estonia, Finland, Ireland, Malta, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Spain, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. Assistant U.S. Attorney Mark V. Gorzo for the Western District of Pennsylvania is prosecuting the case. The FBI and the U.S. Secret Service investigated the case in the United States, and the United Kingdom's London Metropolitan Police investigated the international case with the support of Europol's European Cybercrime Center and Joint Cybercrime Action Task Force. Part 4. Abraham Eisenberg. On April 18, a federal jury in New York convicted a man residing in Puerto Rico of commodities fraud, commodities market manipulation, and wire fraud in connection with the manipulation on the Mango Markets decentralized cryptocurrency exchange. The case was the Justice Department's first ever open market cryptocurrency manipulation case. According to court documents and evidence presented at trial, 28-year-old Abraham Eisenberg engaged in a scheme to fraudulently obtain approximately $110 million worth of cryptocurrency from Mango Markets and its customers by artificially manipulating the price of certain perpetual futures contracts. Eisenberg is scheduled to be sentenced on July 29, 2024. He faces a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison on the commodities fraud and manipulation counts and 20 years in prison on the wire fraud count. A federal district court judge will determine any sentence after considering the U.S. sentencing guidelines and other statutory factors. The FBI investigated the case with assistance from Homeland Security Investigations and IRS Criminal Investigation. Trial attorney and special assistant U.S. attorney Tian Huang of the Criminal Division's Fraud Section, a member of the National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team, NCET, and assistant U.S. attorneys Thomas Burnett and Peter Davis for the Southern District of New York are prosecuting the case. The NCET was established to combat the growing illicit use of cryptocurrencies and digital assets. Within the Criminal Division's Computer Crime and Intellectual Property Section, the NCET conducts and supports investigations into individuals and entities that are enabling the use of digital assets to commit and facilitate a variety of crimes, with a particular focus on virtual currency exchanges, mixing and tumbling services, and infrastructure providers. The NCET also works to set strategic priorities regarding digital asset technologies, identify areas for increased investigative and prosecutorial focus, and lead the department's efforts to collaborate with domestic and foreign government agencies, as well as the private sector, to aggressively investigate and prosecute crimes involving cryptocurrency and digital assets. 5, H. Aruni, R. Kazemifar, K. B. Salmani, and A. S. Nasab. On April 23, an indictment was unsealed in Manhattan Federal Court in New York City, charging Iranian nationals Hossein Haruni, Reza Kazemifar, Komail Baradaran Salmani, and Alireza Shafi Nasab for their involvement in a cyber-enabled campaign to compromise U.S. government and private entities, including the U.S. Departments of Treasury and State, defense contractors, and two New York-based companies. Nasab was charged for the same conduct in a previous indictment that was unsealed on February 29, 2024. All four defendants remain at large. Concurrent with the unsealing on April 23, the U.S. Department of State's Reward for Justice Program, RFJ, is offering a reward of up to $10 million U.S. dollars for information leading to the identification or location of the group and the defendants. The RFJ program seeks information on any person who, while acting at the direction or under the control of a foreign government, engages in certain malicious cyber activities in violation of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, CFAA. Additionally, the Treasury Department announced sanctions against the four defendants, among other malicious cyber actors. According to court documents, from at least in or about 2016 through at least in or about April 2021, Aruni, Kazemifar, Salmani, Nasab, and other conspirators were members of a hacking organization that participated in a coordinated multi-year campaign to conduct and attempt to conduct computer intrusions. These intrusions targeted more than a dozen U.S. companies and the U.S. Department of Treasury and State. During the conspiracy, Kazemifar, Salmani, and Nasab were employed by Mahak Ryan Afraz, an Iran-based company that purported to provide cybersecurity services, but which was, in fact, a front for the conspirators' operations. The hacking group's private sector victims were primarily clear defense contractors, which are companies that have been granted security clearances by the U.S. Department of Defense to access, receive, and store classified information for the purposes of conducting activities in support of U.S. Department of Defense programs. In addition, the group targeted a New York-based accounting firm and a New York-based hospitality company. In conducting their hacking campaigns, the group used spear phishing, tricking an email recipient into clicking on a malicious link to infect victim computers with malware. During their campaigns against one victim, the group compromised more than 200,000 employee accounts. In another campaign, the conspirators targeted 2,000 employee accounts. In order to manage their spear phishing operations, the group created and used a particular computer application that enabled the conspirators to organize and deploy their spear phishing attacks. In the course of these spear phishing attacks, the conspirators compromised an administrator email account belonging to a defense contractor, Defense Contractor 1. Access to this administrator account empowered the conspirators to create unauthorized Defense Contractor 1 accounts, which the conspirators then used to send spear phishing campaigns to employees of a different defense contractor and a consulting firm. In addition to spear phishing, the conspirators utilized social engineering, which involved impersonating others, generally women, to obtain the confidence of victims. These social engineering contacts were another means the conspiracy used to deploy malware onto victim computers and compromise those devices and accounts. Kazemifar was responsible for testing the tools utilized by the conspiracy to execute its cyber campaigns. For example, Kazemifar was involved in testing spear phishing emails used to target victim companies and developing malware utilized by the conspiracy in social engineering initiatives. During the course of his involvement in the conspiracy, from at least in or about 2014 through at least in or about 2020, Kazemifar also worked for the Iranian Organization for Electronic Warfare and Cyber Defense, EWCD. EWCD is a component of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, which is itself a component of the Iranian Armed Forces. Among other things, the IRGC is responsible for Iran's offensive cyber capability. The United States has designated the IRGC as a foreign terrorist organization. Haruni was responsible for procuring, administering, and managing the online network infrastructure, including computer servers and customized software to facilitate the computer intrusions. Haruni also frequently used the identity of a real person, Individual One, including his use of a copy of Individual One's true passport to conceal his role in procuring online infrastructure used by the conspiracy to facilitate the computer intrusion campaign. Salmani was responsible for testing tools utilized by the conspiracy to execute spear phishing campaigns, including the campaign against a hospitality company. Salmani was also involved in maintaining the infrastructure used by the conspirators. Nassab was responsible for procuring infrastructure used by the conspiracy, particularly infrastructure used in furtherance of social engineering campaigns. Nassab also used Individual One's identity, including Individual One's name and passport, to register server and email accounts used during malicious cyber campaigns. The defendants are each charged with conspiracy to commit computer fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and wire fraud. If convicted, they face up to 5 years in prison for the computer fraud conspiracy and up to 20 years in prison for each count of wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Haruni is additionally charged with knowingly damaging a protected computer, which carries a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison. Haruni, Salmani, and Nassab are additionally charged with aggravated identity theft, which carries a mandatory consecutive term of 2 years in prison. A federal district judge will determine any sentence after considering the U.S. sentencing guidelines and other statutory factors. The FBI Cyber Division is investigating the case. Assistant U.S. Attorneys Ryan B. Finkel, Dina McLeod, and Daniel G. Nesim for the Southern District of New York are prosecuting the case with assistance from trial attorney Matthew Chang of the National Security Division's National Security Cyber Section. Part 6. Nicelio Barros Garcia Jr. On April 23, a Florida man was sentenced in federal court to 48 months in prison for his role in laundering the proceeds of scams against American consumers and businesses to co-conspirators located in Nigeria. According to court documents, 50-year-old Nicelio Barros Garcia Jr. of Winter Garden, Florida, was part of a network of individuals who laundered the proceeds of fraud from romance scams, business email compromises, and other fraud schemes. Garcia supplied bank accounts to his co-conspirators to receive the proceeds from the scams. After he received the proceeds, Garcia used a cryptocurrency exchange to conceal and transfer the funds in Bitcoin to co-conspirators in Nigeria. Business email compromises involve criminals hacking or spoofing business email accounts to initiate fraudulent money transfers. Romance scams involve fraudsters creating fake online personas to gain the trust and affection of victims, leading to financial exploitation. These schemes cause significant financial losses and profoundly impact the lives of victims. Garcia pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit money laundering in the Southern District of Florida in January 2024. According to Garcia's plea agreement, Garcia personally laundered over $2.3 million of criminal proceeds. As part of his sentence, Garcia was ordered to forfeit over $464,000 in proceeds that he personally received from the offense. Four additional defendants have been charged in this scheme, but they remain at large. The FBI Buffalo Field Office in New York investigated the case. Trial attorneys Lauren M. Elfner and Matthew Robinson of the Civil Division's Consumer Protection Branch are prosecuting the case. If you or someone you know is 60 years or older and has experienced financial fraud, experienced professionals are standing by at the National Elder Fraud Hotline, 1-833-372-8311. This Justice Department hotline, managed by the Office for Victims of Crime, can provide personalized support to callers by assessing the victim's needs and identifying relevant next steps. Case managers will identify appropriate reporting agencies, provide information to callers to assist them in reporting, connect callers directly with appropriate agencies, and provide resources and referrals on a case-by-case basis. Reporting is the first step. Reporting can help authorities identify those who commit fraud, and reporting certain financial losses due to fraud as soon as possible can increase the likelihood of recovering losses. The hotline is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. English, Spanish, and other languages are available. More information about the department's efforts to help American seniors is available at its Elder Justice Initiative webpage at www.justice.gov/elderjustice. For more information about the Consumer Protection Branch and its enforcement efforts, visit www.justice.gov/civil/computer-protection-branch. Elder fraud complaints may be filed with the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, at www.reportfraud.ftc.gov or 877-FTC-HELP. The Justice Department provides a variety of resources relating to elder fraud victimization through its Office for Victims of Crime, which can be reached at www.ovc.gov.